Ah, I offer my respectful obeisances. Te, unto you, Jagat Ishvaraya, unto the Lord of the universe. Vai, indeed, Narayanaya, unto his lordship Narayan. Akila Loka Shakshine, who are the witness of all creation. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by his will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Please repeat. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by his will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Purport. The words ko vichaste gatim atmano yata indicate that when one is puffed up by the false prestige of possessing material opulence, he certainly neglects the goal of self-realization. This is the position of the modern world. Because of so-called scientific improvements in material opulence, people have entirely given up the path of self-realization. Practically, no one is interested in God, one's relationship with God, or how one should act. Modern men have altogether forgotten such questions because they are mad for material possessions. If this kind of civilization continues, the time will soon come when the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take away all the material opulences. Then people will come to their senses. Krishna, Prabhupada. Oman Ginatim Randasya, Ginagina Salakaya, Chakru Mutam Jaina, Tasmai, Sri Guru Venamaha, Banchikapatu Yasya, Kipasindu Devacha, Patitanam Panamevio, Vaishnavevio Namonamaha. So this verse is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. He was speaking yesterday's verse, and he's again speaking in this verse. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search after the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by his will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So he's referring here how the Lord can see. The Lord could see how Bali Maharaj was completely absorbed in his position in the heavenly planets. And if you recall, the whole reason that the sacrifice that Vamana appeared in was because Bali Maharaj was performing a sacrifice to maintain his opulence, maintain his position in the heavenly planets as ruler of the universe. So he was performing this sacrifice, and just at the right moment, Lord Vamana appeared. And as we've been hearing day after day, how the Lord actually cheated Bali Maharaj. He cheated Bali Maharaj because all he was doing was asking for 3 paces of land, and he was just a little person. So 3 paces of land by a short little person isn't very much. Bali Maharaj actually even tried to talk him out of that and ask for something, you know, a little more valuable than that. And he said, no, no. Unless he spoke actually very prophetically, he said, actually, if a person can't be satisfied with 3 paces of land, how's he ever going to be satisfied anyway? So that's actually the position of a learned person. Here's the word vidvan, someone who's actually learned, can actually understand that everything, as Sri Shapanishad mantra, everything is owned and controlled by the Lord. And we have our little quota. We have our quota, and we shouldn't accept more than our quota, because we should know who it actually belongs to. But unfortunately, as Prabhupada prophetically is stating in this purport actually kind of gives you a little bit of a chill. How actually everyone's completely forgotten who's the owner, who's the controller, and they're mad, we're mad, after accumulating some little material opulence. And even our position can't be even considered opulent, and still we're proud of whatever little bit we possess. And I think it's an English saying, the pauper is proud of his penny. You know, so even a little bit we possess. Actually, in previous ages, when people were more piously inclined, more spiritually inclined, the wealth that they could accumulate was so far greater than our puny little, 3 feet of land with our plastic mobile home on it or whatever one might possess. We're still thinking, this I've accumulated by my endeavor and it's mine. And it's just such a fleeting realization. So one can a little bit sympathize with Bali Maharaj, who had conquered over the whole material world, upper planetary systems, the earth planetary system. He had possession of so-called possession, or he thought he had possession, I guess we could say, right? He thought he had possession of everything. And Vamanadev came to rectify that misunderstanding that this is mine, and I own this, and he actually reduced Bali Maharaj to even he was taking, even Tamahar Krishna Prabhu was saying yesterday how Krishna was taking everything from Bali Maharaj with his, he's known as Hari, he has 10 hands. With his 10 hands, he's taking away. So what can we do with our 2 hands to stop someone with 10 hands to take away something that we have? And if that person who has the 10 hands wants to give us something, how can we hold it just with our 2 hands? So Lord Vamanadeva was taking away not only Bali Maharaj's material possessions, but he was taking away his misconceptions. He was... Bali Maharaj, which has been stated many times through this story, through his association with Prahlad Maharaj, he actually was a great devotee, but being in the association of demons, he was often acting in a demoniac mentality. So Krishna gave him, as what was referred to yesterday, Prahlad Maharaj said, I'll just read it again, "My Lord, it is your lordship who gave this Bali the very great opulence of the post of the heavenly king, and now today it is you who have taken it all away. I think that you have acted with equal beauty in both ways. Because of his exalted position as the king of heaven, because his exalted position as the king of heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance, you have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence." So, it is a fact that Lord Vamanadeva took everything, all of Bali Maharaj's opulence, but he took more than that. He took more than just the physical articles. He actually took away Bali Maharaj's misconceptions in life. And he also took away his accumulation of pious and impious activities so that he could engage wholeheartedly in pure devotional service. So as has been mentioned many times, and particularly yesterday, how although the Lord took these things away from Bali Maharaj, what he rewarded him with was far greater than any material possession or anything that could be imagined, because he awarded him with his personal association. He promised him that I'll be with you on this planet of Suttala. I don't think he's gotten to that part yet, but he's about to. He awarded him with something even far greater than those paltry little accumulations of things that he had in his quote-unquote possession. So we've looked at this. So Prabhupada makes the point very strongly in this purport how modern civilization has actually gotten so far away from Vedic culture that it never even thinks, modern man never even thinks of his relationship with the Lord or how to reinstate himself in his relationship to the Lord. He never even thinks of the path of self-realization. And he gives prophetic statement at the end. If this kind of symbolization continues, time will soon come when the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take away all the material opulences of everyone. And then people will come to their senses. So through Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that if someone has some accumulation of piety, that when they are put into distressful conditions, they'll turn to the Lord in their distress. They'll turn for relief of their suffering, or if they're in search of wealth, if they're pious, if they have some accumulation of piety, they'll turn to the Lord. So in the pursuit of economic development, oftentimes people become a little bit religious. And we can see how, especially when they're in want, the attendance in churches seems to go up a little bit. And when the material opulences, as they might, or as material comforts accumulate, then sometimes, and quite often, people forget to continue to pray to the Lord or to give thanks to the Lord or to realize where these things are coming from. And so in the pursuit of they're pursuing their religiosity. Why? Because they want something. They want some economic development. And because of that, because there's a material motivation, when they get a little bit comfortable, then there's oftentimes total forgetfulness of the Lord. So Prabhupada's saying that the time will soon come when the Lord will take away all the opulences, and he's saying that, he's predicting that then people will come to their senses. But we can understand that through Bhagavad Gita, that unless there's piety, even things that will be taken away from people, and they still won't come to their senses. They'll become more angry at the Lord or whatever. So there has to be a little bit of accumulation of some pious activities. So that's our task. Prabhupada said, we have a very serious task ahead of us, very serious task somehow or other to propagate God consciousness in an atmosphere where people are not at all inclined to God consciousness. So through the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us through the acharyas of chanting the holy name in public, distributing prasadam, and somehow or other Rath Yatra, somehow or other giving people the opportunity to come in contact with Krishna consciousness, somehow or other, to actually canvas to see if anyone can take to the process, and at least be spreading the opportunity that they have to come in contact with devotional service, so that the hope in the future that they'll turn to the Lord in some way or other. So we've been studying this, reading this story of Bali Maharaj for quite some time. Sometimes we take our little microscope or our magnifying glass and we're looking at all the verses and all the purports and the different points. So since that's been done for some time, I thought I would do exactly the opposite and step back a little bit and look at Srimad Bhagavatam, look at this story from Srimad Bhagavatam from verses spoken in the second canto. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th chapter, first and second verses, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining what topics are going to be included in this Mahapurana. This Bhagavat Purana is a Mahapurana because it includes 10 topics. And so that verse in the Bhagavatam, second canto, is Sri Suka Uvacha. That's the only part I have memorized. Oh, sorry. Atra sarga visargascha stana poshanam utaya mananvantaranu anushkata, thank you, nirodho muktir ashraya. So this verse is explaining the 10 topics that are included in Srimad Bhagavatam, and this one, this story of Bali Maharaj, is very much personifying one main topic the thread goes throughout the whole Bhagavatam. So the translation is, in this Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 divisions of items, of statements, regarding the creation, sarga, the creation of the universe, visarga, the subcreation, the planetary systems, the protection, protection by the Lord, Poshanam, the creative impetus, the change of manus, the science of God, returning home back to Godhead, liberation, and Ashraya, the Samambonam, Krishna, the shelter of everything. So these 10 topics are spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, not necessarily in a systematic order. Some of the acharyas say, yes, it is systematic, and some of the acharyas say, no, it's not necessarily systematic, but we'll leave that said like that. And so this topic of Poshanam, the Lord giving protection to his devotees, is entwined in many, many, many stories throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, ultimately, this is what the Lord's doing here with Bali Maharaj. He's protecting him. He's protecting him from entanglement in material life. He's giving him his protection so that he's not entangled in materialistic life and distracted from searching out the goal of life. And searching out what? Krishna's lotus feet, Ashraya, the shelter. Distracted from taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, which is the only substantial shelter that there is. Every other shelter that a person might think is a shelter, what? Family, money, home, this, that, armies, position, all of those are just fleeting nothings. Very frail things that can give someone some small amount of shelter for a very limited amount of time. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami is explaining that these 10 topics of the Bhagavatam, they're explained in different ways. Sometimes they're explained directly by the story itself is directly giving that shelter. The next verse, text 2, describes that to isolate the transcendence of the Samambonam, the symptoms of the rest are described sometimes by Vedic inference, sometimes by direct explanations, and sometimes by summaries of explanations given by the sages. So sometimes the sages are explaining what the ultimate goal is. Sometimes the Vedic literature itself will directly explain it. And sometimes it'll be just inferred indirectly by a story that's given in the Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada explains in that purport there that Vyasadeva's really what he wanted to do was only to talk about Krishna directly. But because people aren't necessarily totally inclined to hear Krishna, about Krishna directly, and also they're not also qualified to hear about Krishna directly. So he's giving all of the stories in the Bhagavatam are meant only to bring us to the to direct us to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Sometimes in the other cantos, when there's story after story or verse after verse about the reign of the manus or the different rulers of the kingdoms, sometimes it gets a little difficult to understand what does that really have to do with me, and what does it really have to do in this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is such a sacred literature meant for glorifying the Lord. So it's explained that topics like that, the history of the manus, those are meant to actually give us an understanding how time is passing. Time is passing so quickly that we need to not be absorbed in the here and now, but be absorbed in our eternal position of as servant of the Lord. Time is passing so quickly, and even though these kings performed great, great activities in their day, still they're just simply like, if they weren't even listed in Srimad Bhagavatam, hardly we would even have heard of them, you know. But they're given also, it's also to indicate that the path is always open for performing pure devotional service. That Krishna is always providing a pathway for pure devotional service. It's never out of reach of the living entity, no matter how difficult the situation degrades into. So here, this story of Bali Maharaj, it exemplifies how the Lord's giving protection to his devotee and how he actually is always, always there, waiting for us simply to turn to him. And then, and by turning to him, try to revive our loving relationship with the Lord. We were, in another class I was giving at New Ramamurti School, we were talking about how Krishna's always there. Sometimes we're thinking, woe is me. You know, Krishna was here on the planet 5,000 years ago. Lord Chaitanya was here on the planet 500 years ago. And now so much time has passed and civilization has gotten so degraded and so difficult to remember the Lord now. But actually Krishna, out of his infinite kindness, is right here with us even this very day in so many ways. That we just have to, we have to train our eyes to see it and train our eyes and ears and intelligence to take advantage of his association. So Srila Sanatana Goswami has beautiful prayers glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam, explaining how Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself, and that's there in the Bhagavatam itself too. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself, is an incarnation of Krishna who has returned among us, and always to give light to those in the darkness of Kali Yuga. So Krishna is here present with us in the form of his holy name. He's here present with us in the form of his deity. He's here present with us through the grace of the spiritual master. And he's also within our heart. So he's always guiding the living entity who wants to take his guidance. He's always there, ready and willing and anxious to give the guidance and to wait and see, is the living entity going to accept my guidance? If you remember in a few previous verses, when Vamana had taken away everything from Bali Maharaj and then said, and then he chastised him, said, you didn't even keep your promise. You promised to give me 3 steps of land. You only gave me 2. So now you have to be punished for not keeping your promise. Then Bali Maharaj answered, well, I still have one more thing. I still have my head. So please place your 3rd step on my head. So in the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada said that Bali Maharaj was praying. He didn't want his promise to be unfulfilled. He was saying that I don't fear punishment. I'm not worried about suffering in hell. But I am concerned about not being able to fulfill my promise to a brahmana. So Prabhupada says there that Bali Maharaj was praying and Krishna within his heart gave him the good intelligence to surrender his head as the place for the 3rd step. So it's interesting because simultaneously Bali Maharaj is criticized for offering his head as the 3rd step, as if he still possessed his head, as if he was still in the consciousness of thinking, this is mine and I will offer it to the Lord. So he's simultaneously slightly criticized for that, but Prabhupada acknowledges that Krishna gave him the intelligence to offer his head because he was sincerely trying to surrender to the Lord. So similarly, it's a little stretch here, but So similarly, Krishna is also in everyone's heart. He's in all of our hearts. And he's giving us the intelligence how we can, in spite of the different difficulties that we face day after day and the challenges that we have, he's giving us the intelligence and the directions and the guidance how we can surrender to him more and more. So what we need to do is to cultivate that desire so that we're not distracted by our daily affairs and end up forgetting the push that we have to make for spiritual advancement. Because indeed we do need to push daily, push, keeping that as a focus, as a goal, or otherwise just the nature of the material world and the nature of the complications of material life, one becomes totally absorbed in just what? In just maintaining sometimes, or whatever, or staying above water, you know. So maintaining sometimes gets so distracting that we need to always put in the forefront of our thoughts and actions this our desire for making spiritual advancement. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Lakshmi Moni Prabhu?
I guess in some way Bali Maharaj was able to see Krishna's good intention, even though, like someone like Sukracharya, he couldn't see Vamanadeva's good intention. And it seems like sometimes if we have faith that Krishna is always protecting us, we kind of know somewhere in the back of our head that Krishna's protecting us, but overtly it doesn't always appear that way. So how do we, or how, what would be some ways to be able to increase our perception that Krishna is protecting us even at times when it doesn't seem like he's protecting us? And sometimes it seems like he's actually putting us in danger, either, you know, materially speaking at least. And sometimes even spiritually speaking, it becomes confusing.
It's a nice question. Thank you. In a few classes previous, and again mentioned yesterday, was a nice example that Vyasuno himself gave when he gave class, was how if someone's doing like embroidery work, and the top, if you look at the embroidery work from the top, it's quite a beautiful tapestry, but if you're looking at the embroidery work on the opposite side, you're just seeing all knots and tangles and a mess, and you can't really quite appreciate the beauty of it. So that's pretty much like the situation. The Lord's making a tapestry out of our lives for our ultimate good, and we just happen to be looking at it from the bottom side, you know, caught in the, you know, in the grinding wheel of time. So I was wondering if Mahatma Prabhu, if you had any suggestions to how can we see more the hand of the Lord favorably in our lives?
I think one of the principles is that you first understand that everything is favorable, that Krishna's protecting you in the way he wants to protect you. And we also understand that we become free of our karma, but Krishna may choose to use it if it's going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. So, or he can adjust things in a particular way, and the way he feels is best for us. I think that was the point of yesterday's class also. And oftentimes I kind of imagine a drama in my mind, that if I'm going through a difficult situation, I think in my mind, if I don't understand how this is Krishna's mercy, I imagine a drama where I meet Krishna and I said, Krishna, remember on March 7th or 9th, you know, when this happened and that happened, why did you allow that to happen? He said, because if I didn't allow that to happen, you would have gone and done this, and that would have been a bad thing. Or according to your karma, you were destined to suffer this way, and I created a problem for you that day so you wouldn't do that. You know, something. I always see that the Father loves you, and he's always doing what's best for you. And sometimes because we're so obstinate, we're going to go head right into hell if he doesn't get in the way. And sometimes he has to kick very hard because we're so stubborn. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I like to see it that way, if based on the premise that Krishna is always doing what's best for us.
Thank you. Prabhu, can't remember your name. Lakshmana. Thank you.
I think also we often get wrapped up in the moment, and we don't let enough time go by. Just like we know it may be very cloudy and a huge storm is going by, but we also know that if we wait it out, eventually the sun will shine again. We're sometimes very passionate and we expect things to be done immediately and we get frustrated with Krishna. But Krishna is not on our same time frame. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a longer time frame than ours. And if we wait it out and we take shelter of the Vaishnavas especially, mm-hmm. then we can weigh out the storm, mm-hmm. what seems to be a storm mm-hmm. for us, you know, because we get anchored down by the Vaishnavas. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we can get blown away. Mm-hmm. But if we're tied down by the Vaishnavas association, then we can, you know, the storm will go by eventually.
Thank you. I think also it's important, as Mahatma Prabhu said, we have to, in order to see that God is always doing good, we have to be faithful in our hearing. Because if we're not hearing about the glories of the Lord and how he's protecting his devotees, if we're not hearing those things, then what are we doing? Well, often we're forgetting those things. So we really need to develop good habits such as, you know, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And it might not necessarily be possible for someone to sit in this class at this time of day, but still we have to practice hearing the Bhagavatam, hearing from the devotees. We have to increase that, because if we're not hearing, then there's just the mind, and it's unlimited conversations that go on with the mind. Now there's also one other nice thing to do is, and I heard this from a great, the advanced devotee one time, and she was saying that it's easy to trace out the mercy in our lives if we're looking hindsight. And it's often very good to do that. It's a good exercise to do. When, as Lakshminath was saying, at the moment it's hard to see, you know, how Krishna is being kind to us. But if we see some other difficulty that we've passed through previously in our life, and we see how, well, because I had that car, let's just say, I had that car accident, I was in the hospital, then I was really taking shelter of the Lord, and then because of that, then this happened, and then it's easier to see it by hindsight, but it's a good exercise to see it, to draw that map of mercy, how mercy has affected our life through previous things, and that helps build the strength that to see it in the future. Mahatma Prabhu?
I think it may be interesting and important to discuss the reality of the material world, that sometimes there are people who create problems for us. We tend to think it's always, well, Krishna's doing this.
Uh-huh.
So I think part of the discussion or the equation is just the fact that we're in the material world. You have political leaders who lead in a certain way, and then there is a reaction, and the reaction falls upon an entire country or the world. We're seeing now the world. So there seems also to be that, you know, like Prabhupada says, we're afraid because of demoniac people, the Krishna consciousness movement might be stopped, or you know, we used to go to the airport and we'd be harassed terribly by certain people. And we're just trying to do our service. And if we didn't go and do that service, we wouldn't have been harassed by those people. So sometimes people are there who don't like us, or situations are there which cause problems in the material world. And I think it's just a reality we deal with. If we don't take care of our health, we'll become sick. Is that Krishna's fault? Did Krishna make us sick? You know. So I think that's part of the equation also.
Hmm. Thank you. Anything else? Thank you very much. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.